Well, we have an exciting episode in store today. I hope you're hungry for lots of information and food as well. Welcome back to Body Talk, the podcast where we shit talk ourselves. I'm Jack.
And I'm Tor. And today we have special guest Jamie Milne here to talk all things TikTok, all things food, all things creation when it comes to recipes. And we are so excited to pick your brain, Jamie. This is going to be such a, hungry episode. Like, I'm going to be starving after this, but I'm very stoked. So maybe let's kick it off. Can you introduce yourself to our audience and kind of tell us a little bit about you and everything Delish?
For sure. Well, I mean, that intro is very hard to, you know, come afterwards. So thank you so much for that. So I'm Jamie. I run Everything Delish. I've been doing this full time for over 5 years. I left my teaching career to pursue Everything Delish full time. Instagram was always my bread and butter. And I know we will get into the story a bit later, but you know, I really started as a restaurant food hospitality account. And then when the pandemic hit, I really had to reinvent myself, pivot my content, and get more into recipes, which is when I joined TikTok. So I joined TikTok a year ago, and in a year, I grew 1.5 million followers. So
that is wild. Yeah, that is insane.
It's honestly crazy. And like I mentioned before, Instagram was my bread and butter. And I know like both of you are on Instagram. Like we started off on Instagram, like really, you know, Instagram has done such amazing things, but TikTok, I always say like it changed my business. It literally changed Everything Delish. It has done so many amazing things for me. So it's been crazy to see just how it's all evolved, you know, since that first time joining my first video and everything. So
absolutely.
It's been a crazy, crazy ride.
We are big fans of TikTok over here. We always speak the praises, but it's always so funny because we talk about this all the time. Like something about the algorithm is so insane. And I feel like YouTube was my main platform at the beginning. And it took me 6-7 years to build up the audience that I have. And I swear it took me 6 months on TikTok to get a very similar sized audience, which it's like, that makes no sense, but it's amazing and I'll embrace it. So I'm so glad to know that TikTok has been like the newfound wave and you totally lean into that. And I think that's, you know, the whole point with content creation is to be open to all these new opportunities and platforms like TikTok.
And adjusting. Exactly. So for you, Jamie, when you started then, because I always love listening to those podcasts, the girls that talk about like they would run around New York and eat all the food. Oh, I forget the name of the podcast, but it's so funny. So I imagine you at the beginning of this, getting all the, you know, invites to go to the fancy restaurants to test all the food. Was that kind of your experience when it was first starting on Instagram?
Yes, exactly. So for me, like I was always the person I went to McGill. So, you know, the Montreal food scene is just amazing. You know, they wine and you dine. So it's like really just like, I was always the person that always had my phone out. I love showing myself drinking with my friends. Like I was just the annoying person. So when I wanted to start Everything Delish, I was like, okay, well, everyone asked me like, where should I go eat? Where should I go drink? Where should I go with my friends? And I was just like, you're all annoying me. Like rather than messaging me, follow my Instagram, go check out Everything Delish. And like, you know, that's kind of like my portfolio of like where you should go eat and whatnot.
Totally.
And in the beginning was when I started to see, this is 5 years ago before an algorithm, you know, short form video content was already really successful. And I always say like I would say up to 50,000 followers in the first year. And that's when I started getting like random media event invites, but it was more like, come try like the mac and cheese Krispy Kreme donut that's like bacon infused, this and that, like gluttonous decadent that we don't really see anymore. Like really food porny. And
absolutely.
You know, like this must have been like what, 2015 era?
Literally. Like that was exactly it. And so I was substitute teaching. I was doing my master's at U of T. And then I was going after, you know, class to, you know, in downtown Toronto to go check out like, okay, where can I get like flaming hot Cheetos, mac and cheese with jalapenos? Like, you know what I mean? Like those craziest concoctions. Yeah. And so I always say my number one like claim to fame, people are like, when did you, you know, kind of like pop boom, off. Like exactly pop off. And for me, it was cheesecake on a stick. And I got this event invite to go check out this Toronto food market. And I was, it was pouring rain. I was so not in the mood to go. I was just like, okay, like literally screw this. I don't want to go. Yeah. I end up going after class at like 8 p.m. I shoot this cheesecake on a stick. So picture like a gigantic piece of cheesecake on a skewer, and then they dip it in milk chocolate, and then they drizzle it with Nutella and hazelnut. Okay. So I'm like, wow. Miserable shooting this. I don't know why. Like, I had the most beautiful like creation in front of me. And right. I end up posting it on Instagram and it goes insane. This is like my first, like I had 50,000 followers at the point, and it got picked up by 9gag that had 50 million followers on Instagram. Oh, that reposted my God. It had like on Cosmo, BuzzFeed, Food Network, Insider, like all of these places.
Wow. And publications. There was a picture or a video?
There was a video. And now I look at the video and I'm just like, oh, why did I put that transition there? And like that.
there, you know, but at the time it worked.
Exactly. But this all happened from an event invite, right? Like when I was, you know, really putting myself out there to go get content, and I was still teaching. Like I had no interest whatsoever. Like Everything Delish was going to be a thing. I just thought that it was going to be, you know, a side hobby. I wasn't making money. I was, you know, funding everything. Really like media dimes weren't a thing then. And this cheesecake on a stick just absolutely popped off. And that was like the first time, like my name was impressed, you know, and then all these things, because I never introduced myself to my audience. Like I could have been a 90-year-old man with nice fingernails. Like that could have been me. You know what
they
I mean?
They only knew you by your nails. That's it.
Literally.
That's like, too
like,
funny.
That could have been me. So, you know, I always say like, you know, really like those media events and getting that content and really putting myself out there and like going around the city was so substantial and helpful to my growth of Everything Delish.
Absolutely. So, okay. So from there, and kind of to your point, like, you know, with food being the center of attention in your lifestyle and in your content, how does Jamie, the like creator, play into that? Cause I know you appear obviously in your videos and stuff, but a lot of like, for example, the photos that live on your feed, like you're focusing on the recipes and the food. Have you tried to like transition to bring yourself more into it, or almost like gone the other way where you're like, I'm just behind the scenes, focus on the recipes, focus on the food.
So at the beginning, I was really terrified to, you know, what other people would think about me, right? Like blogging, content creation, and influencer, like that wasn't a thing back then.
Right.
And being from like the community that I was from, like I really kept it like very low pro. And it wasn't until like, you know, I feel like everything, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, like everything happens, like one thing happens and then it's like a chain reaction. So, you know, my name, exactly. So my name was impressed in Cosmo. FabFitFun reaches out to me to take over their Snapchat stories. That's how long ago this was. And I'm like, literally pooping my pants being like, sorry, like being like, oh my God, like I have to put myself out there. They want me to do an intro. They want me to like do a workout. They want me to do a healthy recipe. Like I don't know if I should do this. And I was just like, screw this. I did this Snapchat story. I saw these followers come in to my Instagram, and then I saw something there. I'm like, in a very saturated space, which is the food community, what can I do differently? And that's put myself out there, because no one can replicate me, my story, and my personality. And so
I love that. That's so true.
Right. So then I was like, so like from that Snapchat story takeover, it was when Instagram stories were just launching, and I was like, managed up the confidence to take those stories and then put them on Instagram for the first time ever, showcase myself. And I saw this immediate response where people relating to me, Jamie Milne, and not the food. So people are being like, where's your mascara from? Where are your running shoes from? What workout are you doing? All these things that I didn't think people cared about. And so since that point, which is so early on in Everything Delish, like that has been my mentality going forward. Like, you know, food is such a beautiful thing. It's a sexy thing. It brings so many people together, but how can I make it relatable, right? Like I want to show people now with my recipes that if I can do it, you can do it. Like I'm not Ina Garten. I'm not Martha Stewart. Like I don't have the time to do a 12-hour sourdough bread, and I'm not going to do a sourdough bread, but I will show you an easy alternative. And I think by, you know, not just seeing the handwork, but seeing my face, by seeing me put ingredients in, those types of things, you're creating that like human interaction with your audience where now they feel like, okay, she can do it and I can follow along with her.
They're a part of it.
Exactly. That connection is totally invaluable. Like that is what elevates it to the next level. Wow.
People want it all.
Want it all.
Well, they're like, we want the access. We want the behind the scenes. We want the like the mascara and we want the sourdough. Like, it's like, you can never please the audience.
Exactly.
Wow. I'm sure that event team must have been so happy with that viral content. You must have been invited back to all their events after that one, eh?
Honestly, it was so Heirloom Toronto. And I mean, I love them. Like, I want to support, especially during this time, like small businesses more than ever. And, you know, from, like I said, we talked about the snowball effect, right? Like that video, then BuzzFeed flew from LA to Toronto to like film them. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So they got so much press from that. And then, you know, and I'm sure you guys see this as well, like when one publication finds you and finds your content, like everyone needs content. That's why original content is so key, because when you when you can become a hub for these publications, it is so helpful to your growth, like getting your name out there, getting your content to new people. And so it's actually crazy because now it's come full circle, right? So when I started Instagram, I saw all these press, you know, reposting me on Instagram, they needed content. Now it's TikTok, right? Now these publications are reaching out to me and they're being like, the TikToker Jamie Milne, this is her video. And I'm seeing it come like full circle. And it's so crazy because TikTok has actually opened up so many opportunities for me. And I cannot believe that these people, and like from the Drew Barrymore show to Good Morning America, are finding me. Cool.
That is next level.
Like from TikTok. It's from TikTok.
It like the way that you can just be like discovered, like by, it's so interesting. And you do wonder like, oh, did this just land on someone's For You page? And now I'm like introduced into their life, and you enter someone's like home just like from their For You page. And you're like, hi, okay. Like you're here now. It's just very interesting.
Exactly.
That's so amazing.
That's like, you know, I think that's the really great thing about TikTok is that like everyone has a chance on the platform.
It's so true. It's an equal playing field. It like totally equalizes everything out and everyone has a fair shot. You don't need to have a huge audience to start. It really is amazing. I'm curious, Jamie, about when you had this viral moment, you had the cheesecake go viral. Quick question. Do you eat cheesecake on a stick anymore? Or was it like a one and done thing?
So it's actually funny because it was so much of a one and done thing because I've never been able to see that anywhere else. It's actually crazy because like through Everything Delish, like it kind of turned into more hospitality pre-pandemic, where I started traveling and working with hospitality groups, you know, like to showcase their food and, you know, restaurants and dining. And I would go to Miami and I would see like someone do cheesecake on a stick there. And I was like, it's never the same than as in Toronto. Like never the same. Like
absolutely. So at that point, when that video went viral, were you still doing your teaching job, or when did you know it was time to quit? And like, how did all that happen? Because I think that's always a question that people wonder when you have a side hustle. When do you know when it's the right time to transition to make the side hustle the main hustle?
For sure. So for me, to give you like a little bit of a backstory, I'm in class when 9gag posts me, okay? And I just see my phone blowing up. And like my teacher literally looks at me like, what? Like, are you okay? Like, you look like you're like going to pass out. And I'm like, I literally need to go. I run outside, I call my parents. I'm like, 9gag just posted me. My dad's like, gag what? Like, excuse me, Jamie, what are you saying? And I'm like, 9gag. They had 48.6 million followers. Like, literally grew in that day from 50,000 followers to 80,000. Just from that. Like, that's like pre-algorithm, like when we were all blessed
that's
by that
insane.
Amazing timeline. Yeah. And so that was a huge pivotal moment for me because I was just like, wow, like I am now being noticed by like, you know, 9gag, Food Network, Cosmo. Like, this isn't just another food blog. And then shortly after that happened, because I started to become like a hub for all these publications, you know, I started to see brands reach out to me. And my first ever brand partnership was Mir Glen Organic Roasted Tomatoes. And I did two videos for, I can't even say the price, but they got a really good deal back then. Let's just say that. And what ended up happening was because I had so many eyes on me, that video that I made for Mir Glen Organic Roasted Tomatoes ended up being reposted by Insider Food, BuzzFeed. So because I was this hub for publications, like they were like now reposting my sponsored content. Like, hello, that doesn't happen now anymore.
But I it was know. So yeah, those tomatoes got their coverage for sure.
Literally like got the best coverage that they could probably have ever bought. Like they probably were like, this is like the best few $100 that we ever spent. We got so much content out of it. Like it's crazy. And that's when I started seeing, okay, like I can make money from doing this. Like this is a thing. And it's actually crazy because this is when all these like management and agencies started reaching out to me around the same time. Like influencer agencies weren't a thing. And I started being like, wait, I need a manager to manage my Instagram. Like, what? Yeah,
like, it's you're weird. Like, I thought I was just doing this for fun.
Exactly. So like, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And then ultimately it got to the point where, you know, I was in school, like teaching, and I was just so removed from what I was learning. Like everything I did my entire life was to be a teacher. I, you know, I love kids. I love being with other people. I love helping other people. And, you know, I truly believe now what I do, like I utilize so many of the skills that I learned, you know, in my practice nowadays.
You're just teaching on a giant scale now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like literally,
your classroom is like a million people big.
that's how I feel. And it's for me, it was like, you know, my love and passion wasn't there like it once was. And I was like, I have something. Like, I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, I want to make my own. I don't want to work for someone else. I want to work for myself. Yeah. And like, I felt like I was young enough and I was like living at home. And I'm like, okay, this is the time to take a leap of faith. And I am so happy with the decision I made and, you know, taking a chance. And, you know, for me, like the last year of doing my master's, like, I really didn't want to finish it. Like I was like so removed and I really didn't want to do it. But I was like, listen, I went to school for 6 years. Like I got to finish this. Like,
yeah, exactly. Finish line is in sight.
Exactly. And I like, for me, it was more of like an accomplishment. Like I wanted, you know, to be able to get my master's and everything. But I do have to say, you know, along the way, because, you know, blogging, content creation, all this stuff was so new, you know, I'm so lucky. Like my boyfriend and my immediate family was so supportive and my friends, but I received so much slack from people being like, what a shame, you know, that you're leaving, you know, a secure job and a pension and benefits to be a, like this and that.
Cry me a river.
And I'm sure those are the same people that are DMing you now asking for tips and following your recipes.
Exactly.
So it all comes full circle.
Exactly. You know, people always say to me, you know, how great is it? Like you have a teaching career to fall back upon if, you know, everything delish collapses. And I'm just like, do you say that to someone that leaves their job to go do something else? Like you would never say that. Like, oh,
I swear it's like a jealousy thing. Like that's something about the social media world when people can't do it and they can't figure it out themselves. It's like always negative feedback. And it's like, yeah, because you're jealous that you don't know how to do it. Like
it is weird. I think it's because if you have a public facing job, people feel like they either A, know what you do better than if you were to say doing your teaching job. And people feel like then they can comment on it because it's a public job, which is so weird. Cause I feel like I'm sure you can relate as well. I know Tor and I have had these conversations where it's like, I've never had a job where people feel like it's okay to ask me what my salary is that week. Or what all these behind the scenes things are, which you would never ask more of a traditional job. So is this weird kind of thing you have to get used to when you transition to, you know, a non-conventional job?
100%. And so for me, like, you know, leaving teaching to pursue, you know, everything delish full time, like that, like now I would tell my younger self, like, don't worry about those comments. Like, don't worry about like, you know, that like negative feedback and those people in your ear, because like when you, and I know it's cliche, but like really, like when you work hard and you put your mind and you dedicate, you know, your time to doing something you love, like you will see a return, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you both can, you know, attest to that. You both have grown amazing, you know, businesses and brands for yourself because, you know, we've all put in really a lot of hard work and dedication. Like, I don't think anyone realizes like this is a 24/7 job. Like I don't turn off.
Sure.
Like there is no turning off here, you know?
No, absolutely.
And I'm sure you guys 100% relate to that.
Yeah, weekends do not exist. What is a weekend?
Oh, exactly. I saw on your TikTok too, Jamie, that you were saying you do, like you obviously have a crazy workload. I'd love to dive more into that. You were saying that you like do 5 minimum recipes a day. Is that still the output quantity? Because that is insane. And 2, are you consuming all this food or does it get thrown out?
So basically I aim to do three or four recipes a day. Like in a beautiful, glorious world when I wake up early and I can like do everything, that is something that's able to happen. Honestly, like you guys know, every single week is different. So there are days where I can do like upwards of five. There are days where I do one. There are days when I do two. Every day is different, but I always try and like have those like ingredients and stuff ready. Even if I can't do it that day, I'll do it the next day. So like nothing is ever going to waste. I also, listen, still live at home. Like pandemic, it's okay. Yeah. Like I'm still at home with my family and it's been great in that sense because they eat leftovers.
You can
feed everyone. Yeah, I'm sure they don't complain.
Literally like, don't complain.
Make more videos, do more work.
Exactly. Like my boyfriend and I were looking now to move out and he's just like, okay, we need to make sure that like we're in like, you know, a good community where you can just like feed everyone, you know, but I'll
go to your neighbors. Yeah.
Actually, so I will like give leftovers to family, friends, donate them whenever I can, especially when I was ever, you know, doing media dines wherever I went, I would never come home with the leftovers. I would always try and give them to homeless. Always, you know, because I was very, you know, I was at home. I was like, you know, they don't need it. Like someone
conscious,
else
eat, yeah.
You know, right. And it just became something that like, you know, I'm sure like you guys with the press packages and everything, you know, it's like,
I know
when you go to these media dines, sometimes it's like a lot, like you're just like, I don't need 12 entrees right now, you know, and I never want any food ever to go to waste. Food waste is such a big issue. Like I never want, you know, that to just be okay to like throw something out.
Absolutely.
No, that's an amazing mindset. I was going to say you are like the Oprah with all the food. And then I feel like on the flip side, Tor and I are the Oprahs with like lipstick where we're like, you get a lipstick, you get a lipstick.
So there's always like, so many beauty products.
An excess in a different way.
Let's do a swap. I'll give you guys recipes and I'll take some makeup products, please.
There you go. I would love that.
So you have that crazy output of content. Are you the one that's still shooting it all, editing all, or do you now have a team around you? How does that work?
So I am a one woman show. I am doing everything on my own. I mean, my sister like helps me take photos if I need to be in the picture. My boyfriend, I've trained him really well to, you know, how to take a good photo. Yes. But I really am like by myself. I like put in so many hours a day into what I do. I shoot, edit, like create everything on my own. I have no help. I have actually like never outsourced an editor or anyone. And I've had to teach myself how to do everything on my own. Like, especially when the pandemic hit, right? What I was used to was filming my own videos in a restaurant. So then you have to put in a tripod and you need to figure out how to do all this handwork. You know, like I always loved recipes. I was just scared to post them before because I didn't think people, you know, necessarily wanted to see them, and had to teach myself about Lightroom, filters, all these things. I just watched YouTube tutorials. Like I was like,
it is the best.
Literally the best. Like you can learn so much on YouTube. And I think that, you know, I was seeing this like amazing content being pushed out on TikTok by new creators. It like re-inspired me, you know, like, and I see like how much content and stuff like they put out on their own. And I was just like, I want to do the same. So I would love, you know, I'm thinking, especially when I move out, I really like thinking about maybe hiring someone to like help with the administrative work, because I'm sure as you guys know, like invoicing, contracts. The phone calls.
There's so much going on behind the scenes that no one even realizes.
100%. Like people don't realize like we wear so many different hats. Like, and for me, especially because I'm, you know, my biggest, I guess, challenge is the light, right? Because of my videos. I'm sure you guys relate. So Exactly. So I won't take a phone call between the hours of 10 and 3:30 because that is my time.
That's my light, baby.
That is my content time, right? Because
it's
I'm
so true.
Think about like a phone call like smack in the middle of your day. Like what I've had like done Zoom calls before where I'm like, well, I have something burning in the oven right now and then I can't like post it and now my cheese pull won't go. And I'm like, oh my God. So I just figured out for me.
And you can never replicate the natural light. That's the thing. Like, I know. People understand it is something special and indescribable. You can't recreate it.
So literally, true. I'm sitting beside a window right now. Like, I don't know if you could, like, there's no ring light or anything. Like, I have them, like, the blinds open. Like, I'm pushed all the way by the window. Like, nothing. It truly, like, nothing beats that natural light.
I sit at my desk and I'm like, shine down on me, baby. I love you. The
light
is
I'm
right
a complete like artificial lighting. So I'm the odd man out. I have like a full studio lighting right now, but natural lighting is normally preferred. Now, Jamie, I feel like you talked a little bit about some of like the maybe misconceptions that people don't see. What is probably the biggest takeaway that people just don't get about your job or have the wrong perception of?
I think that people believe like what we do is easy. Like, I think that like people think that like we have this amazing picture perfect life. And something that I've always tried to do from like the get-go of starting Everything Delish is be super authentic and transparent with my audience. Like, I deal with anxiety, like I go to therapy. I'm so a believer of like, you know, we need to be so in tune and take care of our mental health. And yeah, I think that like, just because I post about food doesn't mean that like I can't have a bad day. Like, I posted on my stories today, like, hey, in full transparency, I actually haven't filmed a recipe all week because I've been like dealing with like a lot of, personally. Like, I, you know, have been really anxious. And that really for me started, you know, the beginning of the pandemic, right? Pandemic hit. I lost all my press trips, all my brand partnerships.
Oh, yeah.
I like everything just like came crashing down. Like, the world felt like it was just like
scary.
Exactly.
That first month. Yeah. There was a lot of uncertainty.
Exactly. Like, so terrifying. And I wanted an escape from my phone and my, like, and the TV. Like, I just couldn't watch the news anymore. And I channeled that energy into cooking because that's what I genuinely love to do. And I would be honest with my, like, my audience and be like, hey, like, I'm feeling really anxious. So like, I'm channeling my energy and I'm making a banana bread today. You know what I mean? And people, like, I talked about these anxieties about like, you know, being nervous to go to the grocery store, being, you know, nervous about all these things. And again, being relatable, like there, I was establishing a connection with my audience, right? Like, just because I post recipes doesn't mean that like, we're not human beings and that we don't have actual feelings and that there's people behind the camera. So I think that, you know, people have this assumption that we live like this amazing picture perfect life, but they don't realize like how much work, how much heart, like effort, just how much dedication we put into, you know, building our businesses, our brands, content creation, and how also it takes a toll on us.
Absolutely. Sure. Like, the time commitment alone, like, I mean, I commend you, 5 videos a day, like, even that seems crazy to me. I'm like, wow. Like, I'm just so impressed by the content output because yeah, that's the thing. Like, people forget that we are human behind the scenes. And yes, of course this is work for us, but you know, the difference between a 9 to 5 is at 5 o'clock, you can shut down and you close your computer and walk away. But when you're self-employed and your brand is your business, like you said, it really is a 24/7. It never leaves your subconscious mind. Like, you're always kind of thinking about that next video or that next idea or like that next brand partnership or whatever it might be. And you really can't escape it. So to that point, what do you do outside of cooking that helps your mental health and that kind of is like separate from social media? Like, do you have any other rituals or things that you love to do that kind of help that?
I love, like, working out for me has been like such an amazing release. Like, just setting the time like in my day, whether it's really early or later at night, like I find that to be super helpful. And also like reading, listening to podcasts, going on walks, like really just taking care of myself. I feel like I never did those types of things before. Like, I never journaled, you know, like even going for therapy, like these things, just like really being proactive about my, like, you know, mental health. And I feel like a changed person. Like, I manifest everything. Like, and I literally believe in manifestation so much. And like, these are things that I genuinely, like, I love reading about. I love like meditating, like doing those types of things. And I think it's important because, you know, like, food brings so many people together, but there are so many other things that are just equally as important that like we can all, you know, relate on a very personal level.
I completely agree. That. I feel like in the pandemic, and Jack and I have talked about this too before, like there are things that we've all taken away from it. Yeah. Like the goal setting, the manifestation, the kind of being more internal and taking those journaling moments and walks and all those things. Like, I don't want that to change. Like, there's things I've learned in this time that I never gave time to that have absolutely made me a better person. So I don't want that to disappear, which I don't think it will. Like, we've created these habits now, but it's interesting that something so terrible and like shocking could actually bring something good. There's always a silver lining.
Yeah, it gives you clarity, I think. Clarity on the things that are important in your life, what the priorities are. It's interesting. You mentioned manifestations. We love to talk about it. We have a gratitude game that you will see towards the end of the podcast. But we love chatting about all that stuff. I'm curious, what's like on the horizon? I don't know if it's like bad juju to talk about manifestations before they've come true, but what's like on the bucket list? Like, do you want to have a cooking show? I mean, you kind of already do. So like, do you want a traditional media kind of show? Do you want to come out with a formal cookbook? Like, what is on the wish list?
So it's actually so crazy that you say that because, or you ask this because I feel like what I want for Everything Delish changes like weekly. So it's so hard to like, you know, have those like definitive, like, okay, this is what I want. But I do have like an end goal. Like one day I wish that like my boyfriend and I, because he's my boyfriend, as we've been together for a very long time. So like I can say I want him a part of Everything Delish, but I mean, like I would love to have a cookbook with him. He's a huge inspiration for my cooking and everything. Aww. And so like literally in our spare time, like we watch Hell's Kitchen and Gordon Ramsay. So like,
I love
that. The thing. Like that's what we do. So like, I would love like, you know, doing a cookbook together, you know, he can take the cookbook and like, I'm focusing like on the digital aspect of it, you know, like having these like dreams of like creating Everything Delish into like a more of like a cooking brand. So it could be like, whether it's like a cookbook, you know, a digital series that's
just
like
become lives Chrissy Teigen.
Literally, like, and then literally, like you say that and I'm like, my dream is to like have a collaboration with William Sonoma, like Everything Delish, like something like that, like really cool, like product, like cooking line, right? Like, is it a food processor? Because I literally whip everything in my food processor, like from like every single cheese, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Those are like my dreams and hopes for Everything Delish, but I'm sure like, as you guys know, like right now, like social media and digital is so hot. That even if it's like right now, like there is so much going on in the digital world that like if I have to go do a cookbook for 2 years, like
I know it's like, why am I gonna walk away from everything that's actually working to like be more traditional?
Exactly. So like that's where I hope to see, you know, Everything Delish go. So we will manifest and keep our fingers crossed.
I love that. We'll stay tuned.
So tell me, so obviously I'm sure you get this question all the time. 0 to 1 million, what is it? 1.5 million on TikTok? More probably.
1.5.
Cool. So it's like, how, you know, like, is that the question? So like obviously 5 videos a day. So consistency, but beyond consistency, what are like your maybe like 3 hot tips for anyone that's like getting started on TikTok?
So, okay. Honestly, when you say 1.5 million and like when I hear you guys say it, like it sounds like crazy. Like I just am like, this is crazy. Like how, like, you know, but honestly, consistency is key. I really believe that like, if you're not posting consistently, like people are going to forget about you or they're not going to know who you are. And like, at the end of the day, you want every single person to know you, who you are. You want them to recognize, you know, your food, your videos, your voice. Like I want to like Tori, like you come up on my For You page and I'm like, oh my God, like I hear your voice. Like I hear
the voice is there.
I mean, like I recognize your style, you know, it's like exciting. Yeah. It's exciting to the audience. And so that being said, consistency, creating like, you know, like a niche style. So for me, it's voiceovers. So I think that people now like recognize my voice.
Right.
They just recognize like those little things that they get excited for. So like 100%, that's like 2. And then I would say like also putting yourself out there. I saw a huge jump in TikTok when I started doing voiceovers and I started putting myself out there. And I really like, again, people started now like relating to me and not necessarily my content. So even recently, you know, we all deal with algorithms, you know, even TikTok has like an annoying algorithm most of the time. And so I was also dealing with kind of like a standstill of, you know, growth and engagement and just views. And something I did was, okay, I went through my For You page and I'm like, why am I watching that video? Why am I watching that video? And then the videos I was watching were all the behind the scenes. These are the tips you need to do, content creation, this and that. And so that's why, and like, as you guys can tell, I can't shut up. Like, I love to talk. Like, it is like really there, right? Like, I have so much I need to say. I love helping other people. So I was like, I'm going to talk about like what it's like to be a content creator. I'm going to talk about like, this is how I make money. And I reached a whole new audience from that. So, you know, like I was seeing this like really like inconsistent growth and just like you know, pretty crappy views. And then I started posting, okay, like more like content creator tips. And my audience grew 100,000 followers in a week on TikTok. And this is like very recently. Like every video that I post with like a content creator tip, it has like minimum 500,000 views. It's crazy. Wow. So like knowing that content, like people want to see it. And like, you know, you're giving away for free. I'm not being like, and here's my ebook that, and you know, this you need to subscribe to, this and that.
That, like, is the worst.
Right? Like, you want to know more? Like, you got to go click the link in my bio and like pay $30 a month. Like, no, like I'm happy to like provide this info for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's been really great because now I'm like taking, like kind of taking Everything Delicious in a different direction, but I'm also not like, even though I'm showing behind the scenes, I thought it was really important to like showcase my food videos, like while doing the voiceover and talking about these content creator tips and secrets. Mm-hmm. And so then people get excited and they're like, oh, I want to make that pasta in the third slide that you wrote. And then I can create more engagement with that because then I can like reply to that comment with a video and then do a recipe video.
Yeah.
So, you know, rather than me,
it's like all integrated storytelling. It's just, it's like funneling it all in the right direction.
Exactly. And just like finding what works for you. Like for me, I felt more comfortable like putting, like doing kind of more of like a compilation video of doing my like best videos and talking over that than maybe, but I haven't tried yet, like the sitting and talking in front. So like, maybe that's something I'll try and like, you know, compare the two and like see, okay, like why did this do better than the other one?
Yeah, I think it's so good that you're, it's so like impressive that you're so strategic about it. Like you can acknowledge when things are working and you can acknowledge when they're not. And I think a lot of creators get caught up in like, I don't know, like their ego gets in the way and they won't adjust and they won't change and they'll stick with the same thing. And it's like, okay, well, you're not going to grow and you're not going to change because doing the same thing over and over again does not, you know, beg different results. So
we love a pivot. We love a pivot.
Yeah, that's so great that you're like staying with the times.
Exactly. I'm so fascinated talking about like behind the scenes. And I'm curious for anyone listening that like wants to do what you do, what are your tips for actual content creation? Are you someone who makes TikToks on a DSLR and then edits them after? Are you writing an app? Do you have this like crazy lighting setup? Like what's your gear technical kind of setup look like?
So I take everything on my iPhone. Funny story, when I first started doing Everything Delish like 5 years ago, I bought myself a camera, went to Best Buy, didn't know what I was doing, just like bought like a nice DSLR. Like I was like, okay, like I guess I need this if I'm going to these events with all these food bloggers.
Right.
I go to the first event. I think, okay, do you guys remember when there was like a grilled cheese festival in Toronto?
Yeah.
Like, it was that long ago, okay? So I go and go to the front of the line, like thinking I'm like, oh, media. Like, you know, I'm so young at the time. Like thinking
with the Canon Rebel T3i around your neck.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I go and I start being like, oh, I'm media. Like I have to like take a photo of this. No, not actually. I would never in my life, but. And so I go with my camera and I start videoing, like I'm taking a photo of the grilled cheese. And I see like 10 people laughing at me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like, what am I doing? Like, what's wrong? Like,
right.
Like I have a media pass, like I can be here. Like I was like, why are people laughing at me?
Tell me you had like the lens cap on your camera or something hilarious like that.
My lens cap was still on. My lens cap was still on.
I called that. I'm like, tell me that you're shooting with the cap on.
Literally, like my lens cap was still on. And then it was that point where that camera, I was like, nope. I'm not
never
gonna do
again.
This. Like because
I'm an iPhone gal through and through.
Literally. And even like I tried to give it a chance. And even like my engagement, like on my photos when I'd post a professional photo, like wasn't the same. And I think like really, I truly believe that like relatability is so important. Like you want people to feel like you want your photo and your content to feel inviting. Like you don't want you don't want like a picture perfect like sandwich with like, you know, the spoon like 90 degrees to the right and like this
child.
And that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's too
you know what I mean? Like exactly. Like you want it to be inviting. You want people to feel like that they can do exactly what you're doing. And so it was at that point when I was just like, the camera ain't for me. Like it's just not for me. And so it's been in my closet, collecting dust. I should probably do something with it. So, I mean, take everything on my iPhone. I only shoot in the natural light. So I'm very lucky with my parents' kitchen setup that I have like an
island. Yeah, it's beautiful. Everything I've seen on TikTok, it's very bright and shiny and white and clean.
It's a really great thing, but also a bad thing because now my boyfriend and I are looking for places and like I have this expectation of like what my kitchen should look like because, you know, like it needs to.
I am Gordon Ramsay. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, if you want me to make good money from this, I got to have a good kitchen, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I actually move my island. It moves like every single day. I like push it. It's my workout.
Wow.
And I put it by the window. window. And then I have a cell phone holder that I got on Amazon for $30. So I put my iPhone in the cell phone holder, and then I connect it to my Apple Watch, so I can see it from a bird's eye view. And that's how I like press play and everything. I use like another tripod for any videos that I'm taking of myself, but everything on my iPhone. And I don't even edit anything on my, I don't even edit on my computer. Like I use free apps. So like I use Lightroom, I made my own filters. I also use Tezza. Oh, that's not free, but I use Tezza sometimes.
Tori loves Tezza.
Yeah, like Tezza's amazing. And video, I always use InShot. Like InShot's amazing app.
Oh, never used that. I've never tried that.
Try it.
I haven't. I've never tried it on my phone.
Try it. Okay. It's literally,
we are like Final Cut losers. We like pull it into Final Cut and like do things there.
But that's the thing. Sometimes when it overcomplicates it, it's like, to your point, like there is a beauty when it is, and it's not unprofessional. That's not the right word. But like there was a time when we were so used to like seeing
high production commercials
and everything. Yeah. Exactly. High production, crazy f-stop, blurry background. And the thing with social media, it just doesn't have to be that way.
It's also just like unnecessary. Yeah.
Why overcomplicate it?
It's actually crazy because some of my best performing like reels don't even have a cover photo. Like my cover photo is literally like me, like with the food.
Like in movement.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, that's like how, like why I think like people like, you know, it's like same with TikTok, right? Like you can't really post like a high quality video on there. Like that's like not what's like coming up on your feed. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like all like, I don't shoot in app just because I have to like edit everything. So I'll do my voiceovers in app, but I mean, I do everything in InShot, and then I'll do the voiceover and the text like in the app. That's about it. But I mean, it's like, it takes 30 minutes, I would say, for me to edit a video. Like now it takes 30 minutes. It used to take me a very, very long time, but now I'm like, I can scroll past like, you know, where I want it. Exactly.
Totally.
Like, I know where to put that, like cut and everything, split it. And it just, it's easy. Like it works for me. I think that's what it's important. You got to make sure that like your workspace and, you know, the content that you're creating and, you know, the equipment that you're using, like you're comfortable with, and that you actually like enjoy like doing it, you know?
What's so inspiring about that too is the fact that most everyone has a cell phone in their pocket that can shoot video. So it's like, hey, if you can do it, guess what? What's your excuse? If you want to start, this is your sign, start. Like there's no barrier to entry.
100%. And I used to also feel like, you know, I have to, you know, I used to take it, like when I first started doing this, I would take my photos like outside in the winter. Like I would literally be in the snow and I would like go outside, and like, it was like with time and like, you know, I was able to understand like the group that like, you know, I don't need to go outside in like negative 30 degree weather. Like being beside a window is, if anything, better. You know what I mean? So you like learn these tips and tricks. And even so, to say, like my cooking has evolved so much just because of like practice. Absolutely. And like actually being like involved in the work and doing it myself.
Right. So did you have mentors in the space when you were starting? Like, obviously we, like I always say, it was like the Wild West when I first started working in digital media in any capacity. Did you have anyone, like, especially in the food space, because it is kind of more unique with like when it comes to partnerships and like integrating ingredients and stuff like that. Did you have someone that you kind of looked up to or that gave you advice for like how to charge brands and like how to like, you know, integrate your usage rights and all these things? Or did you kind of literally figure it all out as you went?
So I would say like at the beginning, like it was literally, like you said, the Wild West. I had no idea what to do. Like there were no contracts. Like there was like, here's a
check. Yeah, it's like, here's like a PayPal email. It's like, okay, hope for the best. Like,
that was a thing.
It was so like I just not a, like a thing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, what is the word? I can't think of it right now.
A little but, bit
like,
ratchet? A little bit ratchet.
It was ratchet. Like it literally was ratchet. Yeah. So like at the beginning, I was just like, what is going on here? I don't know what to charge. Like I had no idea whatsoever. I was with an agency at the beginning. Like it was, and I felt like it was a security blanket. And I'm really fortunate for my experience with them because like they helped really like guide my way for the first little bit. You know, they were, you know, helpful in terms of like, you know, I felt it was like a security blanket for me, right? Like I left teaching to pursue this. I was leaving this job, but I had a manager, so it was okay. Kind of that's like how I kind of looked at it. I'm no longer with them. Like I mentioned, like for the last 2.5 years, I've been by myself. And those 2.5 years, like, listen, I remember this and I will like, I think it's the best thing anyone ever said to me. It was that no one will work harder for you than you will for yourself. Absolutely. And it's something that I think about Literally, like, I think about all the time, because everything that I've done and I've accomplished and like learning about usage rights and licensing and this and that and prices, it's because of my own experiences, right? Like, like we've all had those like bad partnerships where we were underpaid and, you know, they have the rights probably 5 years later to like my photo and they can put it on a billboard, right? Like there's all these things that like, you know, I wish that I may have known back then, but it's all because of experience. And so I think because I've always been so interested in social media, like when I first started out, like I had these like bigger accounts that I, you know, would follow because, you know, I was loving that the content that they, you know, were producing and a lot of them happened to be in the US. And then as I started to get bigger and like I'd going on these press trips, like we were all going on the press, like the same press trips, and they actually started becoming like my best friends. So
yeah,
it's actually amazing. Like the community that social media, you know, has built, like my closest friends are people that I met on Instagram that don't even live in Canada.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love the interconnection of social media in that way and being able to connect, yeah, on such a global scale with people that you would literally never otherwise cross paths with, which is fantastic. Okay. We're not going to steal too much more of your time. I think it's roses and thorns time, Jack. Do you agree?
I think it's roses and thorns, but before we get started, I have one final question that I feel like our audience would be mad if we didn't ask. We have a lot of Toronto-based followers and listeners. So what is your like top five, or what are your top Toronto restaurants that you always recommend or that you always dine at when dining is a thing?
Oh my God. Okay. So it's so funny because when people used to ask me this question, I always felt so pressured. I was like, what if someone goes?
I know it's a lot, but I'm like, you'll have the best advice or the best recommendations because you're a foodie through and through.
Oh my God. So, okay. That's so, I love that. So, I mean, I feel like my like picks are basic, but I love like basic and simple places. Like I honestly love Nervosa. Like it's just classic, you know what I mean? Like amazing.
And like sit me on that patio with that like mushroom pasta and a glass of rosé and I will be there all day.
Right. Like you literally like cannot go wrong there. So like that would be number one. I love Gusto, like same thing. I love the Good Son. The Good Son has like an epic burger and I'm obsessed with cheeseburgers. So like I would 100% recommend them. They're like steak tartare is amazing. And then I like literally haven't dined out in a really long time. So I'm like trying to
We're dreaming.
Blanking. I know. I'm even trying to think of like some top spots. I mean, Jacqueline's vegan. So when we dine together, we're at like Planta and like, or like Fresh.
I love which Planta. Are great.
Planta is so good.
The cauliflower tots are just unreal. Like I can pop those like in my mouth.
What's
like,
that other place we found? Rosalinda's. That's pretty good.
Vegan. Oh yeah, yeah,
Rosalinda's.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Fresh is a classic, but that's the thing. I feel like I'm not, I always feel bad when friends from out of town will ask me, cause I'm like, I've got such like specific needs that there's only certain restaurants that I like love to eat at. Cause they obviously have a lot of plant-based options. So I'm the worst person to ask. That's why I love asking people like you. And I have literally a notes app in my phone that I have like non-vegan recommendations.
I love it.
So I always pick people's brains. Cause I don't want to be that person. When
the out of town people come and they don't want to
be like, go to Fresh.
I love it. Well, honestly, like I feel like I'm drawing a blank right now. I wish I had more. I know I'm just like, oh my God, Friday weekend brain is like coming in right now.
5 o'clock. It's like almost happy hour. 10 minutes of happy hour.
Yeah, literally. Go to the Instagram.
Go to Everything Delish if you want more. If you want more
recommendations.
But I think it is time. It is a Friday. Let's end on some roses and thorns. It's our little gratitude game. Tour was kind of leading into it, where we do some highs and lows. So we start off with one thorn, which is one negative thing. It can be from the past week or the day. Something trivial. It can be deep, as big or small as you want to go. And then we do two roses to outweigh the one bad thing, which are two highlights. And then we do one rosebud, which is one thing we're looking forward to in the short term. So one of us can start and kind of show you the ropes to it. But it's just kind of a cute little gratitude game.
I love that.
I think we'll be all for it.
I love it.
Okay, I can kick it off. Okay, so thorn of the day. I had to do like Purolator returns and I just hate the post office. It's just a general feeling I have. It's not due to anything. I just like, I have all these heavy boxes and it's like, I don't know. It's just so annoying. And I'm like, I don't want to go out of my way. It's such a trivial annoyance, but it was just frustrating.
Not fun.
Not fun. That's what it was. A chore that was just not fun. So a thorn. A rose is that I got to see my boyfriend for like the first time in 2 weeks today. He was traveling in Vancouver working and then I was working all week on set. So we were disconnected. We finally got to reconnect. So he's sitting on the couch. Hello, baby. So that was awesome. He can't hear you because I have AirPods in, and he also has AirPods in and actually looks kind of miserable staring at his, he just gave me eyes. Okay. So that's the rose. And then a second rose is that we're going to have a sushi night. So this is in line with you, Jamie, a food evening, a food inspired evening of sushi. And we also picked up sake. So we're going to have like a scenario. So I'm very excited about that.
I love that.
Rose bud. So nice. Something I'm looking forward to is, there's a Toronto Maple Leaf game tomorrow night and I'm working with them on like this, like really fun TikTok thing. So that's
amazing.
Cool.
That's awesome. Cool.
Looking forward to
love
it.
Love it.
There you go.
That's awesome. Jamie, do you want to take the ropes next?
Sure. Okay. So I think I mentioned this at the beginning. My thorn was, I definitely had like a kind of an off week, just like feeling anxious with like the new lockdown and stuff like that. Something that like I really struggle with is like, I hate going to the grocery store, especially during this time. I just feel like it's very, like I have to go to the grocery store probably more than, you know, once
a
week.
Person.
Exactly. And so, I mean, like, I everyone congregates in the exact same area. Like everyone's in the fruits and vegetable. Yeah. And so like, it's just like, it's a little bit anxiety provoking for me. So I try and go like at off times. And I've definitely just like feeling a little bit anxious this week. So I actually just took the time this week to like, really like just not do recipes, like catch up on admin work and just like kind of take time for myself, which is really nice. And I'm feeling like today I did my first recipe in a week and I was just like, I'm back, baby.
I'm back.
Like,
that's
I'm
the best thing.
Yeah. And I feel like normalizing breaks is like completely, you know, like so important. Like everyone gets run down and burnt out and it happens at the most random of times, but it's like really important that we listen to ourselves and, you know, how we're feeling and we like feel, you know, like, okay, like you need a break. You're feeling uninspired. Like take a digital detox. Like there's nothing wrong with that. So 100%, I would say that was my thorn. My rose is that, so a TikTok opportunity that happened that was really cool is that, I mean, like I mentioned before, my boyfriend and I are obsessed with Gordon Ramsay. So whenever I have a chance, to like,
I've been seeing your ad, your Gordon Ramsay collab. Yes. Yes. Tell me about this. I've been seeing it all over my For You page, like multiple times.
Oh my God. I'm honored. So basically like whenever I have a chance to like plug Gordon in like some way, like I'm like, okay, like I like need him to like notice me and like I want to do a video with him. Like it's the dream. And so when my boyfriend, like we are always like cooking his recipes, like I know how to cook steak because of watching my boyfriend did it, who like literally follows Gordon's like step-by-step like method. And so one of my videos happens to be at the top of like Gordon Ramsay's hashtag on TikTok. So his team in the UK found me and they were like, we are launching like campaign for his Chef Blast like app. And like, he saw your video and like wants you to be part of the video. And I'm just like, my Zoom was on and no one else is, you know, when you're on a Zoom meeting and you're the only person with the camera on.
Yeah, what is that
off,
about?
Literally. So I was like, my face went red. And they're like,
that's amazing.
The same excitement in your video. Like, you know, like I was literally freaking out. And so from that, it's been amazing. So he commented on my video. Like I did two videos for them, commented on them. And I like literally freaked out.
Wow.
Oh my God.
This is the dream. Like TikTok really makes it happen. Like Hailey Bieber reposted my makeup video in her Instagram story. And I was like, TikTok, you really have just made dreams come true. Like this is it. Really? I love it.
Gordon is just also my favorite.
Gordon is the one.
I need to have a confession and now anyone listening will know my Wi-Fi password, but he's literally the Wi-Fi password to my house. So
I love it. I love it. I love it.
That's amazing. Okay, that is a major rose. That's a whole bouquet of roses.
Yeah, that's
Thank you. So like that's been like really just, I mean, amazing. Like just seeing like these opportunities that, you know, can come our way because of that. So I would say that's one. And then every Friday, I would say another rose. My family, my boyfriend, we do Shabbat dinner. So we like really just like get so much challah and we like today it's beautiful out. So we're making burgers and like salad, cheeseburgers.
I'm so jealous.
No kosher here. We're like fully just like making cheeseburgers. And like, it's something I always look forward to. I feel like I never like before the pandemic, you know, Friday nights were like my nights to go out and like drink and be with friends. And now it's really that like every Friday for the last year, like we've been coming together and doing this. So it's something I always look forward to. And I like love going to bed on a really full stomach and then watching Gordon Ramsay. So looking forward to that.
That sounds like perfect Friday plans.
Right? Like, honestly. And then my rose buds, where I'm really feeling like I'm taking this a long time to talk.
No, this is the game. We love this. This is the game. Yeah.
I love it. So my rose bud would just be, I think like after like a difficult week, like really figuring out like what recipes and stuff I want to do next week and like feeling like in, like remotivated and stuff is really inspired. Exciting. Exactly. Yes. Like, and it's like, I mean, I do this every single day, like we all do. And so, you know, it's really exciting when you like really are excited and like loving the content that you're doing. And I did a really good recipe today. So I'm just really excited to, you know, do more this weekend, next week, just really get back into it.
This is so random, but how do you feel about Whatabagel challah? And would you say that there are other places that you would recommend I go other than Whatabagel to get my challah?
Wait, I'm freaking out that you just said that because that's the only challah that my family gets. Like we are—
Oh, really? Okay, good. Because that's where I always buy it because I'm like, I love it.
Literally the best challah, like honestly, so good. Other really good places, like Kiva's has a good challah, like really good challah.
I'm going to write this down.
Krasinski's has a good challah. I would say like those are my top three. Okay. But Whatabagel, like 100%. And you have to get the sugar challah because like there's nothing better than sugar and carbs. Like with the sugar, like
I've tried that.
It's so good.
Pour is like, a Whatabagel mascot, I swear.
I lived above a Whatabagel for 2 years of my university experience. And I legitimately was their number one customer. I was in there every day. I was a regular to the point where they knew my bagel order. Like I was like, this is the level of commitment I have to the craft of the bagel. Like it's—
I was going to say when this is all done, we can all do Shabbat dinner together and I will cook for you.
Yes. I would love that.
And I'll have vegan options. Actually,
I grew up like, I mean, I'm not Jewish, but all of my best friends are. So like, I can speak a little bit of Hebrew. I'm just going to put it out there.
No way.
Yeah. I know the prayers. I really like, I just want like to Trisha be Jewish. Paytas. Yeah.
I love so it. Funny. I love it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay. Well, that was epic. You totally embrace roses and thorns and we love that behavior. I'll finish us off here. So a thorn of the day, it actually is kind of similar to yours, Jamie. I feel like this week I've just been a bit off and like tired and I'm like, do I need like vitamin B12? Like what is, I don't know if it's like a sleeping thing. It's like my activity levels are so low. So I don't know why I'm tired. But no, I've had like, I feel like an off week as well. So that's kind of a thorn. But then a rose is, I actually did an F45 like workout class today. And I've been like really kind of avoiding the cardio days. I've just been doing the strength days because I know the cardio days are harder. Yeah. And today was like an insane class. And I had kind of eaten breakfast a little too close to the class. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But the rose is that I made it through and I felt good at the end. I was like, oh,
I love it.
I can do a cardio day again. So that was a rose. Almost a thorn though, when the oatmeal was coming. But another rose is honestly, I mean, this weather, we just had snow 2 days ago for anyone listening and a full snowstorm in April, just so random. And then now it's like 18 degrees Celsius, like 16, it's nice out. So I'm probably going to go for a little bike ride after this or like get outside and enjoy some of the sun, which will be nice. A rosebud, something that I'm looking forward to is, well, now that the good weather is here, I'm going to have a little condo garden and I'm going to up it this time. And I feel like this is very in the spirit of you, Jamie, with all of your cooking and recipes. So maybe I'll get some inspo from you, but I'm going to like redesign my little herb garden. My dad's helping me build like a planter box and like,
oh my God,
I'm just going to up the game. So in the next few weeks it'll happen. So expect a DM for like tips and tricks and what I should plant.
I love it. I love it. My dream is to, like, amazing, one day have like an amazing like herb garden, like a greenhouse. Like that is my dream. Yes. That is my goal. That should be what I'm manifesting for the next 5 years.
Yes, that was the 10-year plan.
Have a good house. Fabulous.
Oh my goodness. Well, Jamie, that was such a pleasure. I'm so like grateful that you came on today. I feel like we covered so much and this is such an exciting episode and I can't wait for it to go live. We will link all of your links below. Please check out Jamie's work, Everything Delish, follow along.
Do it.
Thank you for watching another episode of Potty Talk, the podcast where we shit talk ourselves. I'm Tor.
I'm Jack.
And that was Jamie Milne. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you. Oh my God, that was so, you guys are amazing. That was awesome.